Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to this week's episode. I know you've all been waiting with bated breath. We promised you part two to the new episode of What Are the Best Questions to Ask? And today, we are not just here to deliver, but we're here to over-deliver. So Lindsay is back on this episode with me. Yay! Welcome back to the podcast, Lindsay. If you could see her, if you're watching, you'll see her smile light up the Zoom. She's smiling so big that she can't speak right now. But that's fine because we like that.
It's true. It's true. I'm always smiling because we're always having fun.
And she's demonstrating the perfect berry lip today. In fact, I wouldn't even say it's berry. I would say it's like fire engine femme fatale red. And I'm here for all of it.
Thank you. You know, of course, you know how much I love my lipstick. I've layered three different kinds. But wow. This is not coming off. I have this on right now and it will literally be with me till the end of the day. It is on solid. But I love
it. Oh my God. I think I might need the formula. For those of you who are listening and want the formula, I think you should write that in a review and say, Lindsay looked amazing and I need her formula. And maybe, just maybe. Okay. And remember, a berry lip, ladies, is your secret to getting noticed both online and offline. So.
And by Bella, apparently.
Clearly. And who doesn't want to be noticed by me?
I do. Yeah.
Lindsay's sticking her hand up in the air. So let's get right into this. For those of you who didn't listen to episode one, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You don't have to go back and listen to episode one because we've got a lot in store for you that is going to really clarify what the ethos is about from the time you go out on the first date to the time you agree to be exclusive with somebody. And just to recap that, that's no earlier than 15 dates for us. Now, for some of our clients, now mind you, when I say our clients, we're watching them week over week. Sometimes it can be 12 dates, sometimes it can be 20 dates, but I want you to hammer in 15 dates as a good metric if you're not working with us and we're not watching this. But today we want to give you all the juice about what we talked about last time, and I'll do a quick recap of that. And then getting into after you've done the fourth date, right? We talked about kind of dates one through four. What do we need to know prior to exclusivity before we say yes to actually pulling ourselves offline, saying maybe I'd have sex with you, maybe I'll go to your house, and maybe I'm going to call you my boyfriend or my girlfriend. So Lindsay, I'm so excited again that you're here with me. So feel free. I'm going to go through this recap, but obviously chime in at any second. We covered a lot and I'm going to go in, you know, kind of in order, you guys, but really good conversations. There's a lot of preludes to a first date. You're going to have looked at their profiles. You're going to have texted a lot. We talked about doing a video date prior to meeting somebody out, right?
The video date is key, and we want to make sure if you can do the video date before even the first date, that is going to eliminate a lot of the pain of when you show up and somebody is the opposite of how they've presented themselves. So definitely do video dates.
Yes. Do not give somebody 90 minutes to 3 hours of your time without doing a pre-qualifying video date. And the video, it could be a FaceTime call. It could be a Zoom call, a Teams call. I don't care what it is. 15 to 30 minutes. That's all it needs to be. But it's such a big difference than just doing an audio call. The only bad dates our clients really go on is when they skip video.
Every single time. Every time. And what we also talked about in the last episode is even when you do video, it also helps build connection. So when you do meet in person, if this is a really great date, You both have already gotten the jitters out of the way, and it's already a warm-up. So then when you walk in and meet them in for a drink or for a coffee or for a walk, you greet them a lot more warmly, like they're somebody you already know, and it already sets the date up for more success.
Yeah, and that's exactly the thing. I think one of the biggest things that we talked about, just to reiterate in episode one, was starting this as if it is a date. It's not a meeting. Start it out with a hug, right? Be the hug leader. Ask if you can hug, but be the hug leader. Don't wait to be hugged. Be the hugger. Okay, you're the koala bear. You're gonna go hug the tree.
And you're going to do that with a big smile on your face, too, because people are so nervous when they're walking in. They are in their head. They are hoping that everything goes well. They're also doing this week after week and, like, gosh, here it goes again. And I hope this one goes well. So be the person that is socially generous and greet whoever you're meeting with a huge smile and treat them like they're a really good friend and tell them that you're excited to be there. Show them with your body language, with your expressions, that this is something that's really important to you as well.
Yeah, I think that's such key advice. Remember, we talked a lot about you. Everybody wants a date to be fun. So as much as you can, guess who's responsible for the fun? You. You. So bring the fun. Have some great topics to discuss. Treat this person like they were a good old friend. Hug them, sit down, start with a compliment, and go from there and listen for the gold. An organic conversation will flow freely back and forth. A couple of other highlights from last time. If someone brings something up that you're like, ooh, oh no, that's a taboo. I'm not supposed to talk about religion. I'm not supposed to talk about my bad relationships. I'm not supposed to talk about my divorces. I'm not supposed to talk about politics. At that moment, when somebody brings up the Chernobyl of topics, the thing where you're like, oh my God, don't necessarily steer away from it. Get curious. Be a journalist. Just say, "Oh, that's so interesting that you think that. Tell me more about that." Or, "Wow, that sounds like a tough divorce. What happened there?" Your goal, ladies and gentlemen around the world, for these first sets of dates is to determine, does this person have red flags on them? And if they're willing to cough that stuff up, who are you to stop listening to it?
Oh, so true. And even more so, if they offer the subject, just because they're bringing it up does not mean that you have to then match them and answer the same questions. So, yes, this sounds a little bit uneven, but if they bring it up, they're leading with it. That's where you can get to the ask more questions and really kind of get curious. But you don't then have to now match whatever it is they're saying with all of your stuff.
No, we're not looking to trauma bond. That does not a good date make.
Ever.
Okay.
Never. No.
And so think about, okay, the first one through dates four, you're looking for how do I feel in the presence of this person? Is it easy? Does it seem like there were red flags? Am I learning more about this person? So now let's go, again, these are guidelines. You might learn things in date one. It might take till date seven. These are just guidelines. So let's now kind of switch to, let's assume you've had four dates. Person's still in the funnel. We haven't gotten rid of them. What do we want to know, Lindsay, between this point before date 15-ish, before we're willing to get offline, pull our profiles down, and be exclusive? What are the things we should be thinking about? What are the things we should be asking?
So one of the things that has been so essential, I think, why our clients have been really successful and why they meet is because of this 15-date rule. And I say that before I get into the details of what kind of a lot of people would date after 3 to 4 dates and decide immediately that's when they want to be exclusive and they rush into it. And because we're building all this extra time to get to know them, to get to at least as a guideline date 15, we spread it out a little bit more. So those first few dates are just about connection, fun, easy breezy, keeping the conversation a little light. The second round of dates in that middle half, all the way up to exclusivity, Now that you've established a foundation that you're not seeing any obvious red flags, you think that this is somebody that there's a little bit more potential here, you're interested in learning more. This is when you want to start really digging more into their relationship history, really asking good questions about just their dating journey, their what happened, and we'll give you specific questions about kind of around their marriage, their divorce. Find out more about family of origin.
God, yes.
That's it. We'll hit on that one too, and we'll get in a little more weeds with that. And it's really understand the underlying factors of how this person, what their thoughts are about relationships, how they feel about relationships, and then really get to know all the different types of relationships they have in their life.
Yeah, I think that's great. And remember, it might feel intrusive, but you're talking about partnering with this person. Now, if you were looking for a business partner, wouldn't you feel okay doing this kind of due diligence? Right? If you were looking to hire someone for your home, a nanny, an assistant, you would ask all the questions. And here we're like, oh, I don't know if I should ask that. Is it too early right now? You're thinking of sleeping with this person, creating a domestic partnership with this person. So nothing is off limits. But here's the thing. What you don't want to make this sound like is it's a deposition. You want it to feel organic, but you have big goals in your mind. I want to find out how this person grew up. What were their parents like? What were their parents like with them, meaning the person you're dating? What are the siblings like? And really, like, what are some questions to get this started, right? Because this is something you really want to know. Now, I'm going to proceed this. Now, some of you might be driving or walking and listening to the podcast going, well, shit, I got handed a really bad deck of cards with my family of origin. I feel you. None of us have perfect families of origins. But what I want you to think about, even if that's you, okay, and we're like, oh my God, am I going to be judged for my background? The point is we're not going to judge somebody for the hand they got dealt. What did they do with the hand that they got dealt? And what work have they done to become better in the realm of relationships? So I just wanted to give you guys that before you thought, oh my God, I'm screwed because I come from a messy family. No, the fact that you are listening to this podcast tells me you have done and are doing your work, and you are a good dater, and you're invested in becoming better.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. And we do get that question asked a lot with our clients. And it really, and we work with everybody to help practice answers to those questions when they get thrown at them, if they're a point that makes them feel really uncomfortable on how they can talk about it and then shift away from kind of the pain of the past to what they've done so that when they're talking to a potential partner, that that person sees that kind of growth. So I'm glad you said that.
Right. And so, just as a launching pad, you can ask people like, oh, what were your parents like when you were growing up? If you haven't gotten there already, and remember, this might come up earlier. And if you hear some weird stuff, drill into it. It's like, oh my God, my dad left, or my mom did this, or was an alcoholic. You can just say, wow, that must have been really hard. If somebody says it, it's fair game. So maybe at that, so this is the kind of stuff that you want to know. You want to know what has this person's life journey been like? What are the factors that have influenced them internally and externally?
And you can start where we talked about on that the first podcast, how small talk leads to big talk. You can warm up to these conversations a little bit. So it could be, tell me a little bit more about where you grew up. What was it like at that town? And then start to open up the door a little bit and just say, and with your family, do you think your parents always knew that's where they wanted you to be raised? And then you start to bring it to the parents and you can build on this a little bit more. So it's like, you know what? So were you closer? Was there a parent that you were closer to? Were you more close to your mom or to your dad? What about your siblings? Where do you fall in the lineup? What would they say about you? Oh, and then, are your siblings married? Find out if they're married and what kind of relationships they have. And then you can keep kind of these conversations, it starts to flow a little bit more organically, you know, like how close and warm was your family? And, you know, did you feel like you had a happy childhood? Asking these questions will start to, it will create good conversation, but it will feel less like a deposition or an interview or, you know, let me pull out my note cards. I've got some specific questions we have to answer on today's date.
Yeah, exactly. And you can ask the questions like, wow, you know, if their parents didn't have a good marriage, and let's face it, 50% of first marriages end in divorce, 67% of second marriages. So if you're the child of divorce or you're dating someone, okay, almost everybody is, the majority of people are. And asking questions like, wow, you know, if they come from trauma and they've shared their trauma with you, just say, wow, that must have been really hard. Do you find that that impacted how you looked at relationships and even people that you've chosen?
Okay.
Powerful questions. And what you want to do at that point is make sure that you are listening with your entire being. Not listening, worried about is the table going to be turned on me, but listening as if your life depended on it. Listening to go, okay, does this seem authentic? Has this person done their work? Wow, they've really walked through the fire and really being intentional about the way you're listening. Because if you're listening that deeply, chances are more and more questions are going to come to you. And if you find yourself asking a question, and if that person says, you know what, I'd really rather not talk about that right now, move to something else, right? They've given you a boundary, and that's okay. And you can just graciously apologize, like, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to go there. I thought, you know, I'm sorry. Like, let's talk about this beautiful flower arrangement on the table. I don't
Yes.
know.
What are
Divert the
you working on this
conversation.
with?
Divert the conversation, but really thinking about family of origin, because as we all know, attachment theory is out there, right? And there's a lot on TikTok. We talk a lot about it. We've done love labs called Fix Your Picker on this. We really coach our clients through this whole process of, okay, how does somebody's family of origin background or early childhood experiences, how can that potentially continue to impact how we choose partners? So it's an important conversation to have. And the more details you can glean, the better off you will be, right? And then potentially having somebody to talk to about all of this data. Maybe you can talk to your therapist about it. Maybe, you know, friends are fine. Friends aren't professionals. I always suggest, right, if you don't have, you know, maybe you've got people in your life that are great and they're super wise and you trust their counsel, find somebody to discuss this with. You might need a therapist, you might need a coach, you might need to do a session with us, but take all this data, and if it seems perplexing to you, it's probably perplexing.
Yes. And asking somebody who can really clarify like what it means is really important. And I think with that too, when you ask these questions, when you get home from the date, write it down.
Yes.
Keep a record because you'll think you'll remember that subtle story that was told to you on the date about the trauma and the family or something, but you'll be surprised that you could go on a date the next day and then mix it in together with somebody else or just ignore minor details. So put it to paper and just track anything that stands out to you so you can go back to it later. Because I think in the beginning, people are very upfront. If you ask the question, they will share. And I find, and our clients hear this all the time, people are they're very open in the beginning when until they start to really like you and then they start to get a little bit more nervous. But writing this down and really taking it to heart and paying attention to how you feel and listening really truly from a place of kindness. You know, Bella's saying listen deeply. And I think with that, it's put that intention in your heart that you really are genuinely there to get to know this person and treating them with kindness and care so
I
that
love
they feel
that.
safe sharing their story with you.
I love that. And I'm going to kind of go off road for a second to come back to something Lindsay just talked about, which is writing things down. Like, I credit myself with having a great memory, right? Got through school easily. People would say, wow, you've got a photographic memory. What I will tell you is a lot of times I don't. And when I, in fact, going back, to prepare the recap for this episode, I thought I could remember everything off the top of my head that we talked about, and we could just leverage right into the second episode. When I went back and went line by line through the recap, I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot we talked about this. I forgot we talked about that. By the way, guys, if you have not listened to part one, go listen to it. We dropped so many friggin' gems in there, questions to ask, questions that will tell you so much about yourself and other people. But going through that recap, I realized, my gosh, I'm so glad I went through this, because then we could come up with a better plan. But so my point here is this wasn't even a date. Okay, this happened 2 weeks ago. Lindsay and I talked for an hour. We know each other incredibly well. We know our content super well. But my recollection and recall wasn't as great as I thought it was until I read the recap. So now imagine that's us. When you're on these dates, go home and write things down. After she and I and Eileen and Kathy, we have client sessions, we take notes of every call right after the session, because I promise you, when you wait 2 and 3 and 4 days, things dull off of your memories. So taking notes could not be more important. And why is this also relevant to questions? Because when you go home and you write things down, guess what's gonna come to you? More questions for the next date, sweetie pie.
Yes, and it's gonna allow you to be more thoughtful about when you show up on the next date, really trying to think about what you wanna pick up, or, oh, we didn't get into that subject. So coming into every date with a plan. We talked about that in the first episode. Thinking about always having 3 questions in your back pocket. This holds true even when you've been getting to know the person longer and you're further along, because now your 3 questions in your back pocket are more follow-up questions or digging a little bit deeper each time you're with them. And I'm going to pivot, which is unusual for me, Bella, because you know I like to follow things structurally, which is so true. This is how we always play off each other with this. But I also want to say, when you're asking these questions, somebody might feel very on the spot. If you're sitting at a restaurant having dinner and staring across from each other over the table, and they might feel a little bit more uncomfortable. Keep in mind that the deeper conversations, these are good things to have when you're maybe taking a walk, when you're outside, when you're on a hike, when you're side by side doing an activity. It's easier to get to this where somebody doesn't have to then stare at you as you're answering or sharing something uncomfortable. So as you're getting to know people, you do want to change up your dates too and be a little bit more active. And then that allows these kind of conversations to happen in a much more comfortable setting. But you don't want to dig into something deep when you're pressed at a tiny little table for two and there's another date on each side of you and everyone's listening to everyone's conversation. You know, pick your time and place.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, if you think about, and I know we've done episodes on why walks are great dates, but just when you're side by side, it's way easier to ask more penetrating questions and it's easier to answer those. It's the telling my life story to a stranger that's sitting next to me on a plane effect. Because we're not feeling the gaze of somebody's eyes boring straight into our head. So if you feel like, yeah, there's more tender things that you want to talk about, and the person that you're dating, and you should have a funnel, but this one particular person, you feel like they would do better when they're moving around, go for a walk with a cup of coffee. It doesn't have to be fancy, right? We have clients that have gone on 15 walks for their first 15 dates.
And for this particular couple I'm thinking of, it was such a lovely way for them to really get to know each other. And then they started to establish a routine of meeting and walking and talking. And they have this beautiful foundation of a friendship right now that is carried now into a romantic relationship. So it's such a great way to build connection and just get to know somebody better. Plus, you're outside, you've got, you know, you're moving your body, you're getting all the good hormones too, and all the other good things. So it's good for you as well.
And this walking point, you know, I remember well before I started Smart Dating Academy, I mean, we'll be married 28 years. When I was newly married, I read an article in the newspaper in Chicago that talked about why Swedish couples were happier than most married couples long term. And I thought, well, I want to read this. It said, after dinner, they take walks together. It was that simple. I was like, so I started with in our house. If you ask Andy, what's an MBW? He will say, oh, it's a marriage bonding walk. So we're like, it's time for an MBW. And we go for walks together still. Not every day, but, you know, definitely less frequent than every day. Maybe we need to start doing that on a daily basis. But really having those side-by-side conversations, I do this with my kids. Some of the best conversations I have with Jaden and Max are when we're walking. And when I say, let's go for a walk, it's like they're automatically prepped and primed that we're going to talk about stuff with no agenda. But that's where the good juice always comes out. So I'm glad you talked about that.
I do the same thing. We'll make dinner when we're done with the family dinner and the kids are rushing off to do their homework. We'll take our cute little dog, Coco, and we take a nice walk. And sometimes we've even amped it up where we have the Gottman card deck on the phone. And my husband, who's been married now to a dating coach for a long time, he's in charge. He pulls up the app and we'll have a fun question. And we still do this. And we've been together over 20 years and we're still working on building the relationship and asking deeper questions, because you're really being with somebody is a constant thing of exploring and getting to know them better.
Absolutely. And it never stops.
No. And yeah, but so I think, so now going back, I think you're right with the family of understanding the family of origin and really where somebody grew up and pivoting for that and asking those questions is really important. And then I wanted to throw one little thing when Bella said, if they say they don't want to talk about it, respect that boundary. Also a little side note, if you see somebody, if they're very uncomfortable and they start playing with their hair or touching their neck or literally like grabbing at their neck, that is a body language sign that they are uncomfortable. So you can also subtly pick up on that cue too. I just want to throw that tidbit in there.
Yeah, for sure. Like you can see when people get uncomfortable, they start moving around a lot in their chair. They fidget and they're not even aware of it. But yes, that is a very good point. And at that point, it's not up to you to change the conversational topic. Like, hopefully they'll get through their discomfort. When I see someone doing that, it's like, note to self, they're uncomfortable with that. I'm sure they'll get themselves out of that pickle and I just let it roll.
Yes. Yes.
And they do. Invariably, they will get out of their, you know, being uncomfortable, but that's not a you problem. If you've stepped too far, they'll tell you, hey, I'm not really ready to talk about this at this point. But again, if they brought it up, then it's okay to ask about it. And when you're on further dates, I think family of origin, you know, I think we've talked a lot about that, but really getting to know dynamics and prior relationships is a big one as well. And really listening for clues. Ultimately, what you're looking for when you're drilling in for past relationships is this person a good relationship bet? And is this person a good relationship bet for me?
Yes. 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 And that, and asking those questions up front, and one of our favorite questions to ask is really going to help you figure that out sooner rather than later, because we don't want you to get to date 15 now and then finally ask if they want to be in a serious relationship. You know, these are the kinds of questions we want you to cover earlier. That's why after you've kind of covered the first few warm-up dates, this is where you could start getting into it then. And then you can re-ask the same questions even right before you're going to be exclusive to double check that what they said is still holding true now that there's a point that you two might be together. And I think one of my favorite questions to have people ask is, what have you learned from your past relationships that you want to do better in your next one?
That's a great question.
I love that question. I love that question because of the accountability it shows. And is this somebody who's willing to take ownership for what their part was and why that relationship maybe didn't work? And then are they thoughtfully really thinking about what their intention and their goals for their next one? So you get two out of one out of that one. And It's a really good question, and it opens up the door because it also shows you what they're prioritizing, perhaps with you.
Yeah, I think that is a great question. And I think it can tell you, have they done their work? Have they thought about it? And yeah, are they playing the victim, right? A lot of people will play the victim over and over again. And I think that you'll hear that. And you have to ask yourself if this person has made, a series of choices that haven't served them well. Maybe it's family of origin stuff, but what do they want to do differently this time? What are they looking for this time around?
Yes. And then that allows you to really think, okay, are we aligned in in what our goals are? And then asking, what does an exclusive relationship look like to them? People have different takes on that. And there's a lot of different things out there right now, but really getting an understanding of what does a good relationship look like? How do they want to feel in that relationship? What is something that they feel they need from a partner that would really make them happy in the future, and really getting a sense of what their values are and what they're working towards.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And along with that, I think, asking this person, making sure that they want a relationship and closely related, what does a relationship look like to you? Do you want to live with somebody? Do you want to be married? Do you want to never live with somebody again or never be married? Making sure that there's alignment in what a relationship looks like, because there are a whole bunch of different definitions of what a relationship looks like. I mean, if you just look at the dating apps today with consensual non-monogamy, right? That's a relationship to some people, not to me, but. And so, really understanding, and you need to think about this, dear listener, what does a relationship look like to you?
How much alone time do you need? How much together time do you need? How aligned do you have to be in? We tell our clients you don't need to have every hobby aligned. That is not what makes for a good partnership at all. However, if skiing is your passion and you expect that you're going to spend 6 months out of the year living out west skiing, and the person you're with is like, I will absolutely never, ever do that, take that into consideration and look at that a little bit. Make sure that even in terms of how you want to spend your time, what your goals are, how much do you want to devote to your work? How much free time do you have for travel? Getting a sense of what their time priorities are is equally important.
That's right. And even if their priorities are different than yours, are you both good with that? For some people, they're in retirement and they end up dating somebody who's not yet retired. And as long as you're both clear about what that means and how much time you have and when you can be together, I coach a coaching group, and one of the women is still working at 70 and has met somebody who's 10 years older, and he's fully retired. And she said, I can't see you during the week because we live half an hour away and I run a family business and I'm commuting and this and that. And he's like, then the weekend it is.
Yes.
And
You
he's like, go.
negotiate that.
He's like,
It's
you do you, babe. You keep working.
good.
Right? He's like, never quit. I love that. And so, even though you could be in different places, as long as you have an understanding and it's clear and you can both be good with it, that's all you need. You don't need a carbon copy of yourself. Like Lindsay's saying, if you want to live out west with someone who's skiing and wants to ski, maybe. I'm just going to throw this out there. Maybe this person is also retired saying, listen, I've blown out both my knees. I'm not able to ski anymore. I will live with you. I would love to be out there and I will
All
meet
the
you when
non-skiing
you're done.
activities.
I'll meet you when you're done skiing. I'll be
Yes.
there for après-ski. Is that good enough? Or do you need to have somebody clutched at your side? Every mountain up, every mountain down. And so these are things to know as you're dating. And know about yourself as well and say, do I really need that? Do I really need to have somebody skiing down the mountain with me every single run? Or could I be okay with somebody that could come out and visit me every other week? So really thinking about these things broadly.
And bringing them up and starting to talk about them generally, and then you'll get more granular to your particular situation a little bit later on. But, you know, I think we have a client and they are happily dating. They both live in different states and they both have big jobs, but they happen to just meet when they extended their mileage on the site. And they figured this out even before they became exclusive. Okay, how could we make, you know, if this went really well, how could we make this work? And they're like, well, we'll work during the week and we will trade off every other weekend. And they have now done this for well over a year now. And that was a conversation that happened before they decided that this was going to work. Just make sure they both were in a line that was the right amount of time. So these are things that you can ask. This is when we're saying nothing is off the table, nothing's off the table. Really finding that out early.
That's true. And maybe, you know, if religion is important to you, that's something to talk about. Where does it fit into your life, right? Are you more spiritual? Do you live by a code? Or are you a organized religion person? Do you go to church every Sunday? We have clients, some of them go to church 6 days a week. Others, you know, do it on religious high holidays, right? There's a whole scope of people all over the place. And so if it's an important part of your life, asking about that versus making assumptions.
Yes, yes, yes. And well, the religious, that's come up before too with a lot. And I think making sure, do you have to have somebody who goes with you, or is it really about, can you respect each other's time and commitment around it? So again, those are those conversations that show up once you open up the door and have that.
That's right. And even with politics, it's very polarizing today. And making sure, again, I think politics have come into this understanding of values, and it's a values-based judgment. If you voted for this person, then you stand for these values. And if you voted for this person, then you stand for these values. And I think that there's so much gray area in between, and we can get back to a place of normalcy.
Wouldn't that be lovely? Yes, that would be really nice. Hopefully we can.
And I think that having open conversations, right? If you are highly polarized one way or the other, but somebody looks like they're appealing to you, but they might be on the other side of the spectrum, have the conversation. Have a video date with a person. And you'd never understand how two people that can be so different but agree to disagree on points, people are together all the time that have voted differently to this day. They live in the same houses. They exist in similar families, and agreeing to disagree, and again, coming down to questions and answers, being respectful, like Lindsay was saying, coming from a place of love and curiosity and kindness, you can hear most things.
Yes.
You may not agree, but you can at least receive them and then respond to them.
Well, we could do an entire podcast on dating in this political climate, which perhaps we should write down when we get off of this.
Perhaps we should never do.
I don't know if I really want to, but because that is such a hot topic right now, what we have people ask is if they write something and they're unsure where somebody stands, you can figure this out on the apps, going back to the early questions of, hey, I feel very strong. I'm in this area. I see that you have this political affiliation. I just want to make sure we are aligned or you're open to that. And then people have said, I am absolutely not open to that. I only want to date somebody who's in my spectrum. And then they just delete and move on. Others are like, well, no, I'm very open. And they have a nice conversation online. And then they start to check on values as they start dating. Then they pick the values that are most important to them that line with their political affiliation. And then they dig into questions around that a little bit later. So you can, again, all part of this, it's on the table, you can ask.
Okay, so I have a question for you. Medical issues. What do you see coming up from a question and answer standpoint?
Medical, that's really It's interesting because I have found a trend that it seems like a lot of men, and I don't want to, and I'm going to genderize, lead with all of their medical concerns up front and right away on those first few dates. And it's almost like, here it is, and can you deal with it? Which we do kind of, which we talk about. But I really believe, look, our overall premise, although we're telling you to go ahead and ask all these questions, we believe people have to earn your story.
Amen.
If you have a big medical concern, if we work with cancer survivors, we've worked with people who have overcome a lot of other issues. We've people who have STDs because that's very common nowadays. And so there's so all these things are out there, and we don't want you to lead with it on the first date, this or the second date or the third date. Screen people in, really get to know them better, wait till they've earned that spot, and then you can start to share when it's going to be something that is going to be an issue. And I could take any one of those issues and that go down a big rabbit hole, but if they ask you up front, again, you don't have to answer specifically. How would you answer that?
I don't know. I mean, we see these things happen all the time, right? Either our clients have a thing that they're nervous about disclosing, or someone has disclosed something to them, right? I think, ultimately, here's my general thesis around medical issues, especially. We can accept a lot from people the more we know them. And for example, if we're putting things out there too early, we're kind of, it's just too early. People don't know what that means. So they might close a door on us too early. But it's really understanding when do I think this person, I trust them enough to give them this jewel about me. And I don't think it's too early and it's important. And they should know about it. And so there's a bit of a dance to that. And it's really making sure that you're comfortable, dear listener, with disclosing your things when you're ready to. You don't have to do it right away. And even if somebody asks you, could you please disclose to me your prescription list or all of the medical issues that you've had? Remember, at that point, you can say, you know what? I'd be happy to do that at the right time.
At some point, yes.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that maybe later. And you don't have to answer it. So if somebody asks you a question and you feel like they haven't earned your story yet, it's really okay to say that. Don't be abrupt with how you say it. People typically aren't trying to be rude. They don't know that they're crossing a boundary. They don't know that they've hit on a traumatic spot for you. So look at them like, oh my gosh, they don't know. How could they know? And emotionally regulate yourself before you give a snippy answer.
And it also, you're right, people don't know what to ask, and there can be a lot of overcorrection. So sometimes the bold questions come out in the beginning because actually this came up this morning with a client I was coaching. A man she was talking to was very charming on the phone, and based on some other things about him, there were already red flags. But he immediately started bringing up sex. And how important was intimacy? And he asked her on the phone call, are you a good kisser? Would you do sleepovers that aren't sexual in nature, or do they have to be? And anyway, all these questions, which was incredibly uncomfortable and really put somebody on the spot when they hadn't even met yet. And so, yes, we're deleting this man. But it was one of those things where she handled it so beautifully because he put her on the spot. And he asked, and she didn't have to answer. And she was able to say, huh, am I good? She goes, well, I'm not going to answer that right now, but I'm interested. I mean, I've never had anybody ask me that on a screening phone call. Why do you want to know?
That's great. Yeah. And she's a lawyer, so so she's really good at asking questions back. I love that. So you can, oh, that's so interesting. What makes you ask? That's
Yes.
one of my favorite questions. So whether you're a lawyer or a non-lawyer, if somebody asks you a question that you don't want to answer, I'm so glad you raised that point. That's the, oh gosh, what makes you ask?
Yes.
Buy yourself some time.
Buy yourself some time. And then the more inappropriate the question, this is what where we laughed a little bit this morning before we deleted him, but it was more, would your future husband show up on a call and ask you these questions? Is this how the person you would invest your life with show up and put you on the spot and make you feel right away? And with that made it very clear, no.
No,
And
and
there
people
were other
show
red flags with this person too, to be fair.
that was enough.
That
And
was
I'm sure, right. Usually red flags are like cockroaches, where there's one, there's 17. So yes, if somebody's asking you those questions on a screening phone call, it's like, hi, I'd like to hook up. Hi, I'd like to hook up. It's like, oh my gosh, right. So that's a great thing that you brought up. It's like, no, like
not appropriate.
it's not appropriate. And so those kinds of questions, remember, like in dates 1 through 4, like we were talking about, how did that make you feel? That made me feel icky. That was red flaggy. That person has got to go. So you can tell things about someone based on what they ask you. Weird.
There've been a lot of funny, weird questions this week. There's something in the air right now. Yes.
Any others you can recall on the top of your
Another one
head?
was, hey, should we make a baby? That was a weird one.
That is kind of weird.
Yes. Another one was a newly divorced man who was asking on the phone, how important is sex to you? How many times a week do you want to have it? When do you believe you need to be intimate? All these questions that were really inappropriate for, again, a screening phone call.
And
All of
he just got screened out,
He got
all of them.
all of it, all of it.
Right. So if somebody's asking you bizarro bananas questions that are red flaggy.
It make you uncomfortable and put that pit in your stomach, or make you feel like something's not right, or that their intentions are not aligned with what you want. Get rid of them.
Yes, remember what Lindsay said. You want to feel like you're meeting a really good friend. And ultimately, if this person is going to be the lid to your pot, they're ultimately going to become your best friend that you want to sleep with.
Yes, it's true.
Right. And so if your other best friends wouldn't ask you that, it's not appropriate that someone else does on a screening phone call. Yeah, those are questions
Great
for,
questions. There's
yeah.
been a lot. This happens. It comes in waves a little bit, but I do think intimacy, those are all questions that you'll want to cover down the road. But because Bella, we have that rule of sexclusivity. And that's again a whole other podcast as well, but not getting intimate before you're exclusive, and really getting a chance to get to know somebody and really vet them, which is why we're giving you these questions to get as much information as you can before you become really connected and in that relationship. And I think as things continue to progress and there are no red flags, another question I really like is, what is something you'd like to know about me that you don't yet? What is a question you want to ask that you haven't? And this is like when you're getting really close to being exclusive. And these are the questions that could be a little awkward that you didn't know how to bring up and get out on the table yet, but that you feel like you want to know. So we've gotten some really great answers for people on that. And they're funny. Some of them are very funny. Some are small little things like, I want to know how you take your coffee in the morning, to I want you to know that I'm somebody that, whatever, like a little habit or something kind of cute. So you could make that a playful question too. And then the other question we like to know is sort of just making sure long term that there's some alignment. Like, where do you see yourself in the next year or the next 5 years? I don't know if anyone can answer 10 years, maybe. I don't know. Could you answer where you want to be in 10 years, Bella?
I could answer some parts of it, but not. I don't think I could answer a physical location where I want to be right now because of where I am in my life. I think I would say I'll probably be in Chicago. But who knows? We'll see. Ideally, I'm doing more traveling. But yeah, I mean, I could answer certain parts of that. And I think that most importantly, what you want to know is, to that question about 1 year, 5 year, 10 years, what you want to make sure is, are you part of that for them? Is that relationship part of it for them? Do they want, it's like, well, obviously.
Living with somebody or having kids or building a life or retiring together. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, asking people about their relationships with their kids, maybe their grandkids, right? Really understanding, do they have other friends, right? Do they have friends from 40 years ago? Or do they rotate groups of friends pretty often and they maybe have trouble keeping relationships? So you can also find out a lot about people by asking about their relationships. Like, what's your best friend like?
Yes. And with that too, I find that women, we're a little bit more socialized where we do tend to have bigger groups of friends and lots of friends and run that social calendar. And I'm speaking generally, of course, but men don't have as many friends as women do. And so I will have clients say, is this a red flag? He only has two really good friends. And I'm like, no, two good friends. If they're good friendships, that's great. It's okay. So it's not the number of friends they have. It's not, are they the life of the party? It's what is the depth of the friendships they have? Is this somebody that they, who would they call in the middle of the night if something terrible happened or if they needed help? Who's their go-to person? Do they rely on other people? I think that's really important.
No, that's so important. And you're right. It's not a number. It's quality, not quantity. And so many people have maybe one or two people. And all the studies show that's all you need in your life is one or maybe a second person that are like your soul-filling people. Most people don't. We all, you know, many people have a lot of acquaintances and friends and people that they do dinner with and brunch with. But those people that know the inside of your soul and are there for you all the time in your elevator people, it's not a lot. Less than fingers on one hand.
So finding out what are the qualities that are important to them with a friend is really key. And yeah, and really, and understanding, you know, and then as things are progressing, you're getting close to that point of exclusivity. You want to do check-ins. How do you, you know, what question you would want to ask is, how do you feel things are progressing with us? How do you feel things are going? Going back to when you put your profile online, what were you hoping would be your outcome?
I love that.
What do you want?
I love that. How do you feel about how things are progressing with us?
Yeah. Right?
That's great. And typically when you ask someone a question, they'll give you the answer. It may not be the answer you want, or it might be, right? And you're in total alignment, but that's the other thing. Listen to understand where this person is coming from, not maybe what you want to hear.
That's why you write it down. So if you decide you want to hear something, but the reality is it says something else, you want to be able to check your gut with that on paper. But checking in, how is it progressing? How do you feel things are going? What would you still like to know? What does a relationship look like? So these are the things that are starting to tee up really that conversation for being really clear that you both are dating exclusively. And to us, that is taking your profiles down. We like labels. We like names. It's like being very clear, not assuming anything, not assuming that just because they told you after date two, they took their profile down offline, that now you're in a relationship, but really going back to say, are you open to seeing if this is something we can build without the distraction of dating other people?
Yes. I love that. I love that so much. And you know, on that note, I think over these two episodes, we've given you a massive platform on how to think about dates, the things to ask on dates, the things to disclose on dates. How do you want to feel on these dates? What are the important things to know? And I hope that you will save these episodes and listen to them again and again, because if you follow this advice and don't ignore red flags and listen to your gut and find out all these things about this person before you agree to get naked and have sex and do all of the things, you're following a trajectory that will ultimately serve you really well in the end, because you'll say, I went in eyes wide open. I knew as much as I could before I agreed to get exclusive.
I gave it as much time as I needed to really see who this person was. And so thoughtfully asking these questions over a couple of months to really build that trust and build those layers, that's really important. Not coming right out and asking all the questions we've told you on the podcast within the first date. Please don't do that.
Don't do that, and make sure that this person's actions align with their words. And that's so important.
Yeah.
So important. I thought you were going to say something, so I.
No, I'm just smiling because I'm just thinking, because it is, that's such a great point. And really making sure that what they're saying is matching what they're doing. If they're saying they want that spending time with the partner is important, but you can't get a date on their calendar, that's something to pay attention to. But we have noticed, having done this as long as we have, there's a very good typical pattern in the way that people who want to be in relationships behave. And they're very open to exploring these kinds of questions, and they want to share, and they want to get deeper, and they want to really get to know you as well. And so I think this is something that if you feel you've done your due diligence, you can really enjoy that relationship stage even more, because you already have created a nice foundation to just really pick up and then build the traditions and the relationship together.
That's true. And if you feel yourself wanting to fast forward, ask yourself, why am I feeling the need to rush? Is this scarcity? Am I afraid of this relationship? Am I afraid this person's going to leave? Remember, with the right person, asking the right questions, trusting how you feel, taking it slowly, the right relationship is going to be easy. They're not going to leave you guessing.
That could take the knot out of your stomach. You're going to feel really at ease and feel like yourself when you're with them.
I feel like every one of you that's listening to this episode is going to find love. It's just a matter of time. It's a when, it's not an if. And remember, you are worth this. You are worth the wait. You are worth the exercise of asking the questions. You are worth the exercise of making sure that somebody is in alignment with the answers that you're looking for, making sure that this person isn't throwing down red flags and you're sweeping them under the rug. No, you are worth the time, you are worth the questions, and you are worth the due diligence. So remember, as part of being a psychotic optimist, I want every one of you to know that love is going to come to you. It's a when, not an if. Even if right now you're not online or you've taken a break or whatever your situation is, just know that love will come to you. And all you have to do is decide that you're ready for it and make a plan and do something different.
Oh, my hands on my heart. I love that.
So we hope you are as inspired about your dating future as we are. And if you need a little pep talk, you need a little guidance, you know where to find us. Go to smartdatingacademy.com. Just being with us is like listening to this today. It's like wrapping yourself in pink sparkly bubble wrap through the dating process. We will not let you down. We will always encourage you. And because why? We know that love is coming for you. So if you decide you're going to do something about your love life, do something about your love life and do it today. Turn that little switch on in your belly and in your heart and do something that's going to put you in a better space to receiving the love. Because I promise you, there's lots of people out there that are dying to meet you.
Yes.
So with that, I bid you farewell until our next episode. And go back and listen to episode one all over again and listen to this one again. Bookmark them, save them, because they will help you tremendously. Until then,
Aaron.
Share them. Damn it, share them. Review it. Give us a 5-star rating. All right, Lindsay, thank you so much for dropping your gems on us. We're so grateful.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.